right. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. Are you sure we're not on the east coast of Canada? Are you sure? Because it sure does seem like it. Let's take our psalm books together and turn to number 392. Number 392, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And shall we stand together and sing? Number 392.
Glad you're saved. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And we're going to ask the Lord today to just give a real great day together and trust that God will bless us through the preaching of His Word. Brother Mike Sullivan has brought with him a book for every preacher here today, Prayer Revival. And if you'd like to stop by the table for Brother Friesen, they will have those books there at the table for you in the blue room. And so if you'd like to pick up a copy of that, please do. And we thank him for bringing those for us. I'm going to ask Brother Dave Koflesh if he will come. He's another one of our Bethel boys. And we're so glad that he's here today, working on our staff here for several years as our high school principal and assistant pastor. He's going to come and open our service in prayer.
Let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our precious Lord Jesus, our Savior. Thank you for what He did for us on the cross, and that's because of Him that we're here this morning. We pray that His name would be lifted up and glorified. We pray, Lord, for your wisdom. We pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to move in our hearts this morning. Speak to us, Lord, we pray. Meet with us here this morning in a special way. We thank you for this church and for their hospitality to host this meeting. We pray you'd bless them abundantly, Lord. Bless each and every one of us. Be with the speaker this morning. I pray that you'd use him to minister to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Brother Alcock emailed me late last night, and he said, I'm wondering how many of the men that are here have been affected by the ministries of Bethel. And, you know, that would interest me as well. My pastor was Dr. Harry Strachan and had a great effect on Canada. And so I'd just like you to stand this morning if you were on staff here, if you came to the Bible College, if you're ministering as a result of Bethel Baptist Church. Would you just stand? Amen. Amen. And we praise the Lord for that, and that's a great heritage. This is our, thank you, fellas. This is our 80th anniversary this year at Bethel Baptist Church. And we are so proud to say that our first two pastors covered the first 60 years of that time. Isn't that an amazing track record? And we praise the Lord for that. And God has truly blessed us here at Bethel Baptist Church. There's many others that have gone out from here. We don't claim all of them, but many of them have come out from here. But we are so thankful for what the Lord has done through the ministries of Bethel. Well, we're so glad today to have Brother Penner. He just started a church in Leamington, Ontario, just a week and a half ago. And he's going to come and share what God is doing and what God has laid upon his heart. He's our missionary for this hour. Brother, you come.
Good morning. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. It's been a great privilege to be here already. Thank you, Pastor Feary and Mrs. Feary, for all the sacrifice and having us here this week. Thank you for Mrs. Gordy. She's having us in her home. And I tell you what, I need to tell her about Leamington. It's a great place to retire and see if she would talk to Pastor Feary about moving to Leamington. And if Pastor Feary doesn't agree, I'm sure if she baked you some of those cookies I had last night, that would change your mind. Amen. It is good to be here. Thank you so much. We're the Penner family. My name is Francisco. The name comes from Santa Cruz, Bolivia. I was born into a Mennonite home. And so not just trying to be different, but use a name on my birth certificate. And God's just done wonderful works in my family. We grew up in Bolivia until I was three, moved to Mexico, and then we moved to Ontario, Leamington area, matter of fact. Had grandparents that lived there, and my dad had an ear operation done. He nearly died on the operating table due to malpractice, and being Mennonites, we didn't take him to court, so we never found out the truth. But God did a wonderful work in my heart at the age of 13. I was invited to a Bible camp where I heard John 3:16. It was not an independent Baptist group. Matter of fact, I didn't even know what an independent Baptist was until I was in my 20s. And so I was saved there when I heard John 3:16, and I realized that Jesus personally died for me. And so I was saved. I went home. My mom said, take out the garbage. And she called me Franz in Low German. And I said, sure, Mom. And she looked at me. She was stunned. She said, what happened to you? And I said, I got saved. She said, what do you mean you got saved? And I said, well, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. And she said, you can't know that. And I just looked at her and I said, I do. But the sad thing was the church that I was invited to, because no independent Baptist has ever been at my door to invite me to a church, including in Leamington, all of Essex County. Doesn't mean there weren't any churches, but that never happened. Never got invited to an independent Baptist church. But because I went to a liberal church, contemporary music started coming into these ears, and I was just going down the wrong path. I heard a preacher preach from his pulpit, say, if it feels good, do it. And so a teenager will take a preacher up on that, amen? So watch what you preach. But in my 20s, God had me move to Manitoba. I went to Pembina Valley Baptist Church, and there Pastor Michael Sullivan preached the Word of God. And God stuck his finger right in my heart and said, you better get right with God. You are my child. What are you doing living for the devil? And I decided I better get right or I was going to die. That's how I felt. And so I got right with God. God called me from being a truck driver into Bible college, graduated from Bible college there, Canadian Baptist Bible College. God called me to preach while I was in Bible college. And just been busy being a soul winner. Pastor Sullivan preached from the Bible. Go soul winning. So I went out soul winning. And it's just been a great privilege to be able to serve the Lord. We're anything but perfect. Matter of fact, God could choose a lot of people that are better than us. But we've had the privilege of serving in many ministries. We're sent out of Heritage Baptist Church in Burlington, Iowa. I was an associate pastor there for a number of years. We traveled on deputation. God wanted me to go on deputation. I asked him what I should do. It's not something you volunteer for and say, let me go on deputation. That's what I want to do for my life for 2 years. But God opened the doors, and we gained prayer support, financial support. And thank you, Bethel Baptist Church, for supporting us through prayer and financially over the last couple of months. We appreciate that. God put it on my heart to get into a building. I looked at literally hundreds of buildings in Leamington. I couldn't get 1,000 square feet for $1,200 a month. I couldn't get it. I was rejected more than once on that kind of an offer. So I looked at many buildings. The building that we're in now was the last on my list. I said, God, that's the last one. I know it's available, but I don't want that one. But God opened that one up. We only needed $20,000 down to get into the building. The guy was going to hold the mortgage for us. He's a 84-year-old businessman. And instead of paying $2,000 a month for, say, 1,500 square feet, we're paying $465 a month. And so that's something that was very doable. All I needed was $20,000 down. And I told And I signed the papers, made the offer, and I said, God, I've never raised that kind of money in all my life. And he brought it in a couple of weeks. And it was just absolutely incredible. So we had our first meetings September 9th. It was our first Sunday morning. We started on Wednesday through Sunday. We had some of you were visiting us and handing out John and Romans and flyers. And we just had a tremendous time, many prospects. On that Wednesday, you hear preachers say, welcome to the ministry when strange things happen. Everything that was strange happened that Wednesday. Roofers came to my house and they started, tearing it up. And it just became so busy. But by the grace of God, lightning struck the flagpole in the front of the building, which is like 10 feet from the front doors. And the guys called me, lightning just struck your building. So I'm heading out there thinking, it's probably on fire, it's smoking, who knows what's going on. And a guy was sitting beside me, and he says, God's got a plan in this. And I said, yeah, God does have a plan. I'm waiting to see what it is. And we got there, and we found out that, you couldn't tell anything. But what happened, the guy that was redoing the hardwood floors for us inside, he saw the lightning. I had witnessed to him. He said he used to be Catholic, now he's Pentecostal. And he was just working hard for us. He's seen that. So God did a work in his heart by seeing that. That was 15 feet away from him. There's a guy downstairs who could have gotten struck by that lightning because the lightning went inside of the furnace and struck one of those chips inside the furnace. He was totally wet from the rain as he's working on it. But get this, the guy that saw the lightning, not the guy that was spared from the lightning, but the guy that saw the lightning, him and his wife got saved that Wednesday night. And Brother Quad Madel was with us. He led him to the Lord downstairs. My wife led her to the Lord. And you know how it is, preachers. We want to see them back every night. Well, Thursday they didn't come back, so it was a little discouraging. But right after the service was done, he said, we wanted to make it back, but my wife had some health issues, and we couldn't make it back on time. But he came and he gave us a card and gave us a gift, a cross with John 3:16 on it. And he said, Pastor, you're my pastor. I told the other church, we're not going there anymore. We're going to come right here. And boy, they've been faithful, and he wants to go out soul winning with me this week. And so I praise God for that. So we've been discipling. We're just excited to be there. We had a great day on Sunday. Many couples are coming out. And I'm finding this. People are looking for a church that won't compromise, that will teach them the Word of God. Amen? And we believe the inspired, preserved Word of God. And that doesn't mean I follow a man. I know what I believe. This is a living book, not an expired book. Amen? So I thank God for it. Thank God for you. We're basically at 90% of our support after traveling 2 years, and God's supplying all our needs. If God puts it on your heart to help us out, follow God's leading. Amen. God bless you, preachers. You've been an encouragement to me. You are an encouragement to me. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor Fear.
At this time, we'll have Pastor Harry Stratton come, and he's going to sing two specials for us.
It will be worth it all. see his face when he claims us for his own. There 10 million years to sing amazing grace. It will be worth it all when we get home. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth for everything, all of my worry in vain. Living by faith, troubles when they'll all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond the blessed heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting confiding in his great love.
That's good music, amen? We appreciate him coming all the way to help us with our conference. Our preacher for this hour is Pastor Jamie Grooms, pastor of the Amherst Open Bible Baptist Church. That's a mouthful, but he's from Amherst, Nova Scotia. And we had the privilege of traveling a little bit, and I was in his church, and I was just impressed by his tender heart and his love for people. And so I knew as soon as God led us to have this conference that he would be one of our preachers, and he graciously accepted our invitation. So Brother Grooms, come to preach to us this morning from the Word of God.
Sure is a privilege to be here, and as you can tell, we may be in Nova Scotia, but we're not from Nova Scotia, and we're in Nova Scotia via North Carolina, where we're originally from. We've been in Nova Scotia now for 12 years, and we thank the Lord for the privilege to pastor the Open Bible Baptist Church. We thank the Lord for our people and for what the Lord's doing there, and we'll be able to be with you folks here this morning. I told Brother Holman he was coming through our area a few weeks ago. I said, I sort of feel like a lion thrown in a den of Daniels here this morning, so I would appreciate your prayers. Brother Fury said, are you nervous? I said, yes, sir. I said, I could probably thread a sewing machine with it running right now, but I am grateful for the opportunity to preach God's Word.
Amen.
I want you to take your Bible and go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I would like to read the first five verses. And our text verse will be verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Beginning in verse number 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, please look at verse number 5. And verse number 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. In this passage of Scripture, we find 20 different signs or symptoms of the last days. The Bible says perilous times shall come.
Right.
Truth is, the perilous times have come.
Amen.
I believe we're living there.
Amen.
We're living in perhaps the last of the last of the last days. And these times are upon us. I'm grateful that I have a Bible that when I open it in the morning, it is more current than today's newspaper.
Amen.
That when you read on its pages what's going to come, and you open the newspaper and see what has happened, and you realize that the Word of God had it right all along.
Amen.
That we're living in those last days. And lots of things indicate that we're there. Sure, perilous times. Men, lovers of their own selves. You know, our greatest problem today is to get people, even God's people, to love God more than they love themselves. And men are lovers of their own selves. The list goes on. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. But verse number 5, I believe, has something important for us here this morning. As pastors that are represented from coast to coast, from the north to the southern border. This is important. We realize that this is a sign of the last days.
Amen.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Amen.
William Booth said, the chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, and a heaven without hell.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, the man could see what was coming.
Amen.
If he was living today, he would say, that's not coming, it's already here.
Amen.
And so what is the danger? The danger here this morning is to have a religion without reality. And you say, wait a minute, don't you know where you're at? Yes, I know where I'm at. I understand that we are independent Baptists. I sort of feel like old Dr. B.R. Lakin. They said to him, Dr. Lakin, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist? He said, ashamed of myself. Amen.
Amen.
The Methodists got after him. And my grandfather was an old-fashioned primitive Methodist. They had baptismal tank in their church. I don't know what. They just stuck with that name. They were Baptists from the start to finish. A little bit messed up on eternal security, but they baptized believers by immersion, just like we do. And the Methodists got after Dr. Lakin, and they were wanting him to take one of their circuits there in the hills of Virginia. And they said to him, Dr. Lakin, why don't you come over? He said, if you'll go under, I'll come over. Amen. But listen, friend, among our Baptists, there is such a thing as dead orthodoxy. There can be a fundamental form of godliness that denies the power thereof. We can have a shell. We can have everything that looks good. But my friend, it's not what looks good that matters. Is it doing any good? We can have things. We can cross our T's and we can dot our I's and we can be gun barrel straight and be just as empty. We've got to have the power of God in these last days.
Amen.
He said, beware, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You know, when you read the New Testament, especially the book of Acts, you see a church that had one thing that marked, that distinguished them. That one thing made them stand out. Oh, they weren't very popular. In fact, they were hated and persecuted. They weren't a people that were, had political power and pull. They didn't have friends in high places on this earth. But I'll tell you, that early church had the power of God upon them. And my friend, what we're going to need in these last days is the very thing that we're trading out, we're substituting, we're compromising, we're putting it aside, and that is the power of God. We have traded old-time religion for showtime religion, and this morning we're missing that element of the power of God. And I believe it's what built churches across this great land in days gone by. I really believe that churches like this one that we're in here this morning is a testimony to the power of God. And churches that you pastor, many of them have been started and even today are testimonies to the very power of God. Sadly, today the world shapes the church instead of the church shaking the world.
Amen.
Something's wrong. We've got things turned around. And we need the mighty power of God. I think of that first church, and when you look at them, you realize that their preaching had power. On the day of Pentecost, we read in Acts 2:37, "Now when they heard this," they didn't yawn. They didn't listen. They weren't apathetic about what they heard. I'd far rather see somebody angry about to blow their top than to see them apathetic about the message. "Now when they heard this," the Bible says, "that they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" You know what produced that? It was the power of God.
Amen.
God's power. It wasn't the skills of an eloquent preacher. It wasn't the ability, and my friend, listen, I'm not against ability. Get all of the help in sharpening your sword that you possibly can. But the truth is that the power is not in ability. The power is not in our eloquence. The power is in the Lord. He is the power of God. And boy, we need the power of God in these days, brethren. The Bible says that they, again, verse number 41 of Acts chapter number 2, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." I'll tell you what, we have three get saved in a service and we think we've had heaven come down, amen? But you imagine 3,000 souls getting saved. And I know the day of Pentecost was a red letter day, but my friend, I don't think it's supposed to be a day that's all in the past in the sense that it was a manifestation of the mighty power of God.
Amen.
And we see their preaching had power. Then their praying had power.
Amen.
They had prayer. Their prayers made a difference.
Amen.
Well, no wonder some people don't pray if nothing ever happens when you pray. I'd quit too. But the prayer ought to... Somebody's got a truck out here, and it's a Ford, and I'll forgive you for that. Everybody makes a mistake once in a while. But I noticed when I was going to park, somebody has a sticker in their back window that says, "Prayer changes everything." And I'm glad it does. Amen? There's power in prayer. This first church, this was a praying church, and their prayers had power. Acts 4:31 says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Their prayers had power. You know something? The church that prays and recognizes the importance of prayer, they'll be a powerful church. They'll make an impact. It worries me. I tell our church all the time that prayer meeting is a real thermometer of where we are spiritually.
Amen.
Not Sunday morning, not Sunday night, but our prayer meeting. Those that are interested in and setting aside time to get a hold of God and to seek His face in prayer, that's an indication of what God's going to do. You see a dozen people down on their knees and seeking the face of God, you know something's going to happen. Amen. There's power in prayer. Now, where I grew up, there was a little church back in the hills, and there was a family that lived up on top of one of those mountains, and they were all moonshiners, the whole crew of them. Man, they were bad dudes. They were outlaws through and through.
You didn't go on visitation and knock on their door. They'd put a bullet in you. I mean, they were just, you just didn't go around those folks. And they were bad, but they didn't fear anybody. In fact, most people in the community feared them. But there was one thing they were afraid of, and that was the prayers of that little church that sat down at the bottom of the hill. Those men later testified that when that church had prayer meeting, their moonshine went bad. They said that woods would catch on fire, the boiler would blow up, something would happen, my friend. He said every time, if that church was having a prayer meeting, it messed everything up. I wonder how much stuff your prayer meetings are messing up in your town. I mean, really, we need to understand that, boy, when we're on our knees praying, we're not just talking into the clouds or ceiling. We're talking to the God of heaven. A God who created everything, my friend. A God who spoke and set the moon and the stars in their course. And my friend, He created all things. Listen, we're speaking to one that can do something about the conditions of the world that we're living in. I know we're living in a dark old time and we're living in the perilous days, but we still have a prayer answering God. And He's able, my friend, to turn things around. I believe with all my heart that it's going to take a praying people to make an impact on this nation once more. Amen. Boy, when the prayer meetings are living and the people are seeking God, then you can rest assured that there's going to be something accomplished for God's glory. That family got saved. One of the brothers, he wanted to find out what happened down there at that church. Because he just couldn't, he said it was a puzzle to him that their prayers affected what happened on that hill. And so he went to one of their revival services, he got saved, went home. Eventually his whole family got saved, and every one of those brothers are in the ministry today preaching the Word of God. They're pastoring little churches all over the countryside. One's in evangelism, and they've been faithful to God, and they're serving Him. You say, what did that? I'll tell you what did that. The power of God did that through a praying people. Not only did their preaching have power, their praying had power, but do you know the people had power? You read in Acts chapter number 11 that they were scattered. Beginning about verse number 19, they were scattered out of Jerusalem. And as they went, the Bible says they went everywhere preaching Christ. The people had power and they made a difference. They went so far as Antioch, and there that great missionary church was born by people that had been persecuted, people that had been driven out, people that had went following God, and they had power with God because they made an impact everywhere they went. My friend, I don't know about you, but my heart is hungry to see this power in the church once more. And oh, my dear friend, listen, we're living in a day where the devil's counterfeited the power of God. He's counterfeited it through the charismatic movement. And my friend, they have something that looks real and it looks like it's alive. But in reality, my friend, it's a dangerous thing. It's something that destroys and devastates. Amen. But I'll tell you, the real power of God will fix things that are broken. It will change men and women. Hey, I remember when salvation meant change. Do you? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'll tell you, my friend, when folk used to say, I'm saved, then people expected something out of them. They expected their lives to be different. They expected their walk to be different. They expected their talk to be different. And I'll tell you, only the power of God can make that difference. Amen. You and I can, sort of like D.L. Moody was walking down the street with a fellow who was trying to lead to the Lord, and that man was mocking, and he met a fella coming up the street, and that fella was drunk. He was staggering back and forth, and he said, Moody, isn't that one of your converts? He said, it likely is. If it was one of the Lord's, he wouldn't be acting like that. Amen. That's what we need, isn't it, in our churches again. We need to see the power of God. Amen. Changing men and changing women, putting broken homes back together again and moving in people's lives and taking those that are addicted and broken by sin and Satan and setting them free. And I'm glad Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't lost His power. He hasn't lost His ability. And my friend, He can still change lives today. How do we have this power? I believe it's in the text. Listen, I believe the Bible's got all the answers. I really believe with all of my heart the Bible has all of the answers. And in this context of Scripture, in the whole chapter, you'll see the key to the power of God being upon our lives. And I'll say it starts with the preacher. Look at verse number 10, please, of 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me." Old Dr. Lee Robertson used to say, everything rises and falls on leadership. Men, the power of God starts with the preacher. You know what Paul was saying? He was saying, I'm transparent. Thou hast fully known. Paul wasn't a professional pastor. He was a real preacher. He was transparent. The Bible says here that he again said, thou hast fully known my doctrine. Here's a man that believes something. You see, he didn't have anything to hide. He didn't have skeletons in his closet. You know the bad thing about skeletons, they'll fall out of the closet quite often. He was real. And my friend, listen, I believe our churches are dying for real men. Amen. For real preachers. Preachers that are transparent. Not preachers that appear to have it all together, the people, but preachers that know who holds it all together. You say, well, I would never let folks know that I struggle with this or I struggle with that. You better be careful. You'll make them think that you never have struggles. When the truth is, we all know the truth. We're just real men. As my old granddaddy used to say, we all put our britches on the same way, one leg at a time. Listen, men, it starts with us. We've got to be transparent. And he said, thou hast fully known my doctrine. Here's a man that believes something. Old Vance Havner said, you can't tell it like it is unless you believe it like it was. And he was a man that believed that sound doctrine. And he made it clear. He wasn't trying to sneak up on them with what he believed. I'm glad that outside of the church, there on the sign, it still reads Bethel Baptist Church. It's quite clear, amen? Well, we need to be clear, men, in what we believe and where we stand. And so we see that clarity. It starts, this transparency with the preacher. And then we see his manner of life. He lived what he preached. He was not just a preaching preacher. He was a practicing preacher. You've probably heard the illustration of the two brothers. One was a doctor and the other a preacher. And an emergency arose in the community and someone was sent for the doctor. And when he got there, he called the doctor by his last name. And they said, which one are you looking for? The one that preaches or the one that practices? And I'm here to tell you this morning, the people in your community, the people in my community, the people across this great country, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for preachers that practice. They're looking for preachers that live what they preach in the pulpit on Sunday morning and on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. They're looking for men that are real, men that are transparent, men that don't have skeletons to hide in their closet, men that are walking with God and they're real for God and they're serious about serving God. Ministry's not a profession for them. It's the very call of God on their heart. The ministry is not just somewhere they choose to park until something more appealing comes along. It's that woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Men that have that pressure on their heart and have that fire in their soul that realize, listen, this is what God's made me to do. This is what God's called me to do. This is what God's ordained me to do. We see Paul was a transparent preacher. We see that he lived for something. He said, "You've seen my, thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose." It was his purpose to be real and to make an impact for God. You say, how do you know? Read the book of Philippians. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. What do you do with a man like that? You just get out of his way. Amen. We'll kill him. Who cares? He says, I'm going to heaven. Let him alone. He'll preach Christ.
Amen.
That man had a purpose.
Amen.
He was, listen, friend, men, we need purpose this morning.
Amen.
And our purpose ought to be the very best we can be for our God and our King.
Amen.
Point souls to Christ. Preach the Word. And see God do a work.
Amen.
Old dear brother in Northern Ireland said, if there's a fire in the pulpit, there'll be no snowmen in the pews. Boy, we need fire back in our pulpits. Starts with the preacher. There will be power if the leader, the under-shepherd, has the very power of God on his life. God never anoints and puts his hand on a dirty vessel. I used to hear old Dr. John R. Rice and wondered at how God used him so. He wasn't an eloquent speaker. I mean, he didn't have pulpit skills, per se. Some of you, you know, you've heard him, perhaps. I know some here much older than I. And you know, what was the secret to his power? Someone said that they stayed with him, traveled with him, and before he would preach, he would often go into the washroom and he would take a piece of toilet tissue and he would write down every sin that God was dealing with his heart about. And he said, I'd get on my knees in that washroom and I'd ask God to forgive me and cleanse me because I knew he wouldn't use me if I was a dirty vessel. And he said he'd wad that up and flush it away.
Amen.
Said, why'd he do that? Well, his own words were, he said, nobody but God needed to know what I was confessing. Amen. But see, here's what I want you to see. That man meant business for God. He was a transparent vessel. Starts with the preacher. But men, we must stay on a path. Look in verse number 14. He says to young Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said, you've got to stay on a path, and I believe it's the same path old Jeremiah was talking about back in Jeremiah 6:16 when he said, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein. Hey, listen, friend, the path we need to be on is that old path. I know it's a despised path. I realize it's not a popular path. It's not an easy path, that's for sure. But it's the path that God said, I'll bless.
Amen.
And if we're going to have the power of God, then we're going to have to stay in the old path.
Amen.
I want to encourage you men here this morning, my friend, to make up your mind to stick with your course. I know the pressure's on to lower your standard. I realize that the pressures are on to, you know, to compromise just a little bit. But my friend, I'm here to tell you today, if we give in a little today, where will the church be tomorrow? Where is it going to end up 20 years from now? What kind of church is your children going to have if you let down the line, my friend? If you slacken the reins. We've got to stay in that old path of preaching God's Word. I'm glad the preaching of this old book still works. I know it doesn't appeal to everybody, and you can watch them across the, you know, as you drive across the countryside, you can see folks who've let down their standard. They've jazzed up their music. My friend, they've made it more comfortable for sinners. Since when did the church is supposed to be a place for sinners to be comfortable? My friend, I remember the night I got under conviction, I was rather miserable. There was no comfort in my soul until I come to Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid what we're doing is we're coddling men and women into a false sense of security, and we're sending them to an eternity in hell. Oh, my friend, I know, listen, I know there's a measure of being uncomfortable when the Word of God is preached. I realize those old hymns don't appeal to our carnal nature. They don't satisfy our flesh. But if you're saved and walking with God, they stir you where you need to be stirred.
Amen.
They feed you where you need to be fed, and they help you where you need to be helped.
Amen.
And I say to you, dear men, you stick with it. You ever become the popular church in your community, you'll likely be the powerless church in your community. But I don't know about you, I'd far rather have God's sweet smile than all the praises of men on this planet. We need the mighty power of God on our ministries, and we must stay in that old path. They say it won't work. You know what? We do a lot of things that are rather old-fashioned. Since when did old-fashioned mean useless? It's mighty old-fashioned to wait for the sun to rise every morning, but I'm sure glad it does. Isn't it? It's kind of old-fashioned for our crops to depend on rain when it falls, but I'm sure glad the rain's fallen because it looks like around here the crops are just about burnt up. That's mighty old-fashioned, but it works. I know it's mighty old-fashioned to believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But I'm here to tell you, friend, it still works.
Amen.
I believe it may seem a little old-fashioned to still have church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and prayer meeting on Wednesday night or sometime through the week. It may seem a little old-fashioned, but it still works.
Amen.
It may be a little old-fashioned to sing those hymns. And I'll tell you one thing about the hymns. They get your eyes on Him and not on the person who's doing the singing. Amen? They turn your eyes heavenward. And I'll tell you what we need this morning are men and women whose eyes are fixed on heaven.
Amen.
We need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I'm here to tell you we've got to stay in that old path and not trade our old-time religion for this new showtime religion. My friend, we shouldn't be in competition with Hollywood to put on a better show. When we meet in the house of God, it's not supposed to be what we can produce. It's supposed to be a meeting to see the power of God manifested.
Amen.
And so we see there's a path. And then let me say, we must preach the Word. Verse number 15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And verse 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." My friend, I'm here to tell you, if we're going to have the power of God, then we must use that which is the power of God, which has the power of God. The Bible says it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know where the power is? The power's not in the stories. The power's not. And I like good stories and I like illustrations. They help me, you know. I'm a little slow and simple and it helps me. But I'm here to tell you, friend, what I need is the Word of God. And that's what our country needs, my friend, from the west coast to the east coast, from the Arctic to our southern border. We need the Word of God proclaimed. Proclaimed faithfully and proclaimed fervently. We need the Word of God preached in its purity. My friend, this book doesn't need to be defended. It needs to be declared. This old book can take care of itself. It's been doing a pretty good job since God gave it to us. We just need to rear back and turn loose and preach the Word.
Amen.
The Bible says to the men of God there in 2 Timothy 4:2, "Preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season."
Amen.
That means preach when folks are happy and preach when they are not happy. Amen? When it's in season to preach. I've got an advantage, Pastor Feary. If I take my glasses off, I can't see a blessed thing past about 5 feet. My church knows this secret already, that when it gets a little tough going, and you might get a little bit of a pickle face looking at you, you know? Get those that look like they've been, you know, sucking on a lemon for breakfast, and they're not liking what you're preaching. I just take my glasses off, And I just pretend they're all smiling, they're all happy. And I just go on as if I've got good sense. Amen. The Bible says, preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. Men, don't let this compromising, carnal, Christless crowd convince you that the word of God will not do the job. My friend, I'm here to tell you the only thing that'll do the job is the word of God. The only thing that'll make a difference in your community is the word of God. You don't have anything to offer but the word of God. But oh, my friend, I'm glad it's enough. It points, it's the way to salvation. It gives direction in your life. My friend, it is exactly what we need and then some. It is an inexhaustible well, my friend. You can draw water out. Some of you have been saved a long time. You've been drawing water out of that book daily, and that well's yet to run dry. And if God lets you live another 50 years, I promise you that well will still provide refreshing water. There's no other book like this book. My friend, the devil hates it and the world laughs at it, but the believer's got to have it. And if souls are ever saved, it'll be because it's preached the Word of God. My friend, we need the preaching of God's Word in these last days. It breaks my heart as a younger preacher to go back home or to go places and to see men that taught me to preach the Word now having exchanged that for something else. Man, I'll tell you, I feel bad when men that I look up to rebuke me for staying in the path and preaching the Word and saying, hey, you're out of step with time. I don't know about you, but I don't care about being in step or out of step with time. I just want to be in line with God. I want to stay on the path that'll make an impact for eternity. And I'll tell you, we can scratch backs and tickle ears and make goo-goo eyes at each other and watch people drop off into an eternity without Christ. Or we can determine that we're going to preach the Word, whether it makes people glad or mad or sad or whatever it does, and see God do something in our generation. And I believe with all my heart, my friend, God hasn't changed. We talk about the good old days. And my friend, I believe we can have them again. I believe we can see the Lord work as He has in days gone by. I know we're living in the last days, perilous times, the Laodicean church age. I get all of that. I know that, but I still understand that this book is still powerful. I used to go street preaching with a boy, and he was a little bit crazy. And, you know, people don't want to stop. They see you stand on the street corner. They, you know, especially where I'm from, they know what you're about to do. So he had to stop him somehow. So he took his hat off and he took his Bible and he went and put it down on the sidewalk and covered it up with his hat. Then he went over there and he jumped up on the bench, the park bench, and he started screaming, "It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!" And he was pointing at that hat. Well, my goodness, everybody, people come out of stores. People stopped, little old two-lane road through Main Street there. People stopped their cars, rolled down the window, said, "What in the world's he got under that hat?" And then he got down real, real sneaky-like, like he was afraid of what was under it. And he picked his hat up and picked his Bible up and he started preaching the gospel to them. He said, "I wouldn't do that. People think I'm crazy." Hey, if you only knew what people thought. It's probably a lot worse than crazy. Amen? Preach the Word. Amen. Folks, it'll get the job done. I believe it'll build churches. I do. I believe that with all my heart. Man, I'm busting this summer. On our vacation, we had the privilege to take part in the dedication of two new churches, one in Nova Scotia, one Prince Edward Island. Man, it thrilled my heart to see that happen. Realize there were communities that were sitting in darkness now. They're getting the light of the gospel. Amen. Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Faithful pastor. Godly people. Word of God going forth. Man, that thrills my soul. Amen. And I'll tell you how it was done. It was built upon the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. They didn't offer entertainment. They don't have it to provide. It wasn't built upon music, though thank God for good music. Amen. It was built upon the preaching of the Word of God. My friend, that was central, and that was what... It'll build churches, and I believe, beloved, it'll build them in your town. Amen. I'm glad that this book's cross-cultural. Amen? Amen? It doesn't matter if you're in the hills of North Carolina or you're in the Arctic of Canada, or you're in the plains of Africa, wherever you might be, the preaching of the Word of God will be used of God to see men brought to Christ.
Amen.
Souls will be saved and saints will be strengthened and their hearts will be stirred and the work of God will be accomplished. Men preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. That means you got to stay at it when you don't want to stay at it. Somewhere we've got to make up our mind that this is what God's called us to do. This is His plan. This is His, it's His work. We're just laborers together. It's not about who's who and what's what. It's about doing what we've been told and preach the Word. If we're going to have more power, then my dear friend, we've got to realize it starts with us. It's the preacher. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm the only one like this, but sometimes things don't go right, and the first thing I do, what's wrong with that church? What's wrong with those people? I wish they'd get it together. Then I get alone in my study and open my Bible, and God says, what's wrong with you, boy? You need to get it together. We're going to have power, men. It'll start with us. There can't be a fire in this pulpit and icicles in that congregation. Fire melted. We need God's power, men. We've got to stay in that old path and preach the Word. Men, I pray you'll do it. I'm thankful that many of you for years, that's exactly what you've done. And I hope the remainder of your days that you'll keep at it. I like what old Uncle Buddy Robinson used to say. He said, I've signed a contract to fight the devil. He said, I'm going to knock him as long as I got a fist. I'm going to kick him as long as I can swing my leg. He said, I'm going to bite him as long as I've got a tooth. And he said, when I get old and toothless, he said, I'm going to gum him until I die. We need some men like that. This nation needs you. I realize. You know who's going to reach this country? I thank God for every man that's responded to His call. I know in the Maritimes. You know who's going to reach the Maritimes? It's going to be Maritimers. It's going to be those young men. Some of them are just little old boys right now sitting on our pews. My friend, don't you ever discount what God may be doing in their little hearts. You don't know who God's training up. You don't know who God's raising up. My friend, those little fellows are sitting there, they're hearing, they're watching. And my friend, they need to see a preacher that has the power of God on him. They need to be in a church that has the power of God. You know why they run to the world? Because their churches are dead. My friend, they find more life out here in the world and the things of the world. We need churches that are living churches. They need to see people weep their way to Christ again. I want my boy to see old-time religion. I want him to see the power of God. I want him to know there's a God in heaven who's alive and well and able even in this age. I want him to know that our God still cares, still saves, still keeps, my friend. He's still working in our day. Oh, beloved, listen. Our God is a mighty God. His church ought to be a mighty church. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. God deliver us from just playing church. Putting on a show, going through the motion, and having no power to make an impact for the Lord. Father, I pray You'd speak to my heart afresh this morning. I pray for these dear men. Oh God, may Your power be upon us. May our churches make a difference. Lord, I pray You'd use us in these last days. We don't want to mark time, just fill buildings, draw our breath and our salary. God, we want to see You do something. souls saved and churches started, works accomplished. That'll bring glory to your good name. Lord, I pray you'd work in our hearts here this morning. Stir us, refresh us. May we go back to the places you've called us with a fresh fire and purpose in our soul. In Jesus' strong name, preacher.
Amen. I think we got what we came for so far. It's been a wonderful blessing. What we're going to do at this time, instead of an invitation, I'm just going to encourage you to get with somebody right where you are and spend some time in prayer with another preacher, another friend. Just spend a few minutes in prayer, and we're going to be back here at 10:50. So would you just quietly dismiss yourself when you're done, and we'll have our next session at 10:50. But spend some time in prayer and reflect on what God has done in your life during this service.